He scanned the gaudy collection of individuals waiting in a cordoned area for shuttles, then recalled Craiglin's thoughts about having wasted a lot of money. He looked away and surveyed the rest of the crowd. He saw him. The captain of the Clear Air Turbulence was standing, his suit partly covered by a grey cloak, his arms folded and his feet apart, in a queue of people waiting to get buses and taxis, 30 meters away. Hawser dipped forward and leaned over until he was looking at the hire guard's upside-down face. "Thanks. You can put me down now."
"I have no change,"
the man rumbled as he stooped. The vibration went up through Hawser's body. "That's okay. Keep it." Hawser jumped off the guard's shoulders. The giant shrugged as Hawser ran, swerving and ducking to get past people, toward where he had seen Craiglin. He had his terminal fastened to his left cuff. The time was -2.5 hours. Hawser squeezed and shoved and excused and apologized his way through the crowd, and on his way saw many people squinting at watches, terminals and screens, heard many little synthesized voices squawk the hour and nervous humans repeat it. There was the queue. It looked surprisingly orderly, Hawser thought. Then he noticed that it was being supervised by the same security guards who'd been inside the arena. Craiglin was near the front of the queue now, and a bus had almost finished filling up. Road cars and hovers waited behind it. Craiglin pointed at one of them as a security guard with a note screen talked to him. Hawser looked at the row of waiting people and guessed there must be several hundreds of them in it. If he were to join it, he would lose Craiglin. He looked around quickly, wondering what other way there might be of following. Somebody crashed into him from behind, and Hawser turned round to the noise of shouting and voices and a press of brightly dressed people. A masked woman in a tight silver dress was shouting and screaming at a small, puzzled-looking man with long hair, clad only in intricate loops of dark green string. The woman shouted incoherently at the small man and struck out at him with her open hands. He backed off, shaking his head. People watched. Hawser checked that he hadn't had anything stolen when he was bumped into, then looked round again for some transport or a taxi tout. An aircraft flew overhead noisily and dropped leaflets written in a language Hawser didn't understand.
"Sabel,"
a transparent-skinned man said to a companion as they both squeezed out of the nearby crowd and went past Hawser. The man was trying to look at a small terminal screen as he walked. Hawser caught a glimpse of something which puzzled him. He turned his own terminal onto the appropriate channel. He was watching what looked like the same incident he had seen for real in the auditorium a few hours earlier. The disturbance on the terrace above his own when he'd heard that Sabel the Eye had been caught by the security guards. Hawser frowned and brought the screen on his cuff closer. It was that same place. It was that incident, seen from almost exactly the same angle and apparent distance he'd watched it from. He grimaced at the screen, trying to imagine where the picture he was watching now could have been taken from. The scene ended and was replaced by candid shots of various eccentric-looking beings enjoying themselves in the auditorium, as the damage game went on somewhere in the background. "If I'd stood up," Hawser thought, "and moved over just..." It was the woman. The woman with the white hair he'd seen early on, standing in the highest part of the arena, fiddling with a tiara. She'd been on that same terrace, been standing by his lounger when the incident on the terrace above took place. She was Sabel the Eye. Probably the tiara was the camera, and the person on the higher terrace was a decoy, a plant. Hawser snapped off the screen. He smiled, then shook his head as though to dislodge the small, useless revelation from the centre of his attention. He had to find some transport. He started walking quickly through the crowd, threading his way through people in groups and lines and queues, looking for a free vehicle, an open door, a tout's eyes. He caught a glimpse of the queue Craiglin was in. The cat's commander was at the open door of a red road car, apparently arguing with its driver and two other people in the queue. Hawser felt sick. He started to sweat. He wanted to kick out, to throw all the people crowding around him out of his path, away from him. He doubled back. He would have to risk trying to bribe his way into Craiglin's queue at the front. He was 5 meters away from the queue when Craiglin and the two other people stopped arguing and got into the taxi which drove off. As he turned his head to watch it go past, his stomach sinking, his fists clenching, Hawser saw the white-haired woman again. She wore a hooded blue cloak, but the hood fell back as she squeezed out of the crowd to the edge of the road, where a tall man put his arm round her shoulders and waved into the plaza. She pulled the hood up again. Hawser put his hand into his pocket and onto the gun, then went forward toward the couple, just as a sleek, matte black hover hissed out of the darkness and stopped beside them. Hawser stepped forward quickly as the hover's side door winged open and the woman, who was Sarble the Eye, stooped to enter. Hawser reached out and tapped the woman on the shoulder. She whirled round to face him. The tall man started toward him and Hawser shoved his hand forward and up in his pocket so that the gun pressed out. The man stopped, looking down, uncertain. The woman froze, one foot on the door's sill. "I think you're going my way," Hawser said quickly. "I know who you are," he nodded at the woman. "I know about that thing you had on your head. All I want is a lift to the port, that's all. No fuss." He gestured with his head in the direction of the security guards at the head of the main queue. The woman looked at the tall man, then at Hawser. She stepped back slowly.
"Okay. After you."
"No. You first."
Hawser motioned with a hand in his pocket. The woman smiled, shrugged and got in, followed by the tall man and Hawser.
"What's they?"
began the driver, a fierce-looking bald woman.
"A guest," Sarble told her. "Just drive."
The hover rose. "Straight ahead," Hawser said. "Fast as you like. I'm looking for a red-coloured wheeled car." He took the gun out of his pocket and pivoted round so that he faced Sarble the Eye and the tall man. The hover accelerated.
"I told you they put that cast out too soon,"
the tall man hissed in a hoarse, high voice. Sarble shrugged. Hawser smiled, glancing occasionally out of the window at the traffic around the cab, but watching the other two people from the corner of his eye.
"Just bad luck," Sarble said. "I get bumping into this guy inside the place too."
"You really are Sarble then," Hawser said to the woman. She didn't look round and didn't reply.
"Look," the man said, turning to Hawser. "We'll take you to the port, if that's where this red car's going, but just don't try anything. We'll fight if we have to. I'm not afraid to die."
The tall man sounded frightened and angry at the same time. His yellow-white face looked like a child's about to cry.
"You've convinced me," Hawser grinned. "Now, why not watch out for the red car? 3 wheels, 4 doors, driver, 3 people in the back. Can't miss it."
The tall man bit his lip. Hawser motioned him to look forward with a small movement of the gun.
"That it?"
the bald-headed driver said. Hawser saw the car she meant. It looked right. "Yes, follow it, not too close." The hover dropped back a little,